On this week's StoryCorps in Cincinnati, Ruth Rodriguez came to the U.S. from Puerto Rico as a child in the late 1940s. Here she talks with her daughter, Rebecca Arbona, about growing up as an immigrant in New York City.
At the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement, I know that you became involved and you had a specific reason for becoming involved that I think is a really cool story I want to hear about.
Being Puerto Rican and having grown up in the unmentionable colony of the United States, for generations we were picking up some of the values, good and bad. My grandfather was dark-skinned, and I remember when I was little and still in Puerto Rico, we used to drink black coffee in the morning. I was not allowed black coffee, but I was allowed to have the remains of the sugar in the bottom of the cup of coffee. And one day I asked my mother, I said to my mother, I know why abuelito, that means grandfather, is negro, because he drinks so much coffee. And my mother goes, don't let him hear you say that. He's not black. He's Indian. Indio meaning Indian colored. Who the hell knows what that was, but Indian he wasn't. And my brother was born of a second marriage of my mother's, my mother Gladys Rosario, and he was dark-skinned. And I had been hearing a lot about the civil rights movement, and finally we had a TV, and the hosings and the lynchings and the horrible horror, the horror of that time, and feeling in the middle, but not quite, because we weren't white, we weren't American, and we weren't black. But I knew that we were not white. The legend somehow was that we were white. We were not black as in the people that were being hosed. But my little brother was born dark-skinned. And I thought, oh my God, he's subject to all of this. In my 16-year-old mind, I was walking in the village with my then-boyfriend, Andy.
So this is Greenwich Village in New York
City. This was Greenwich Village in New York. And we passed a basement. You know, we were walking on the street, and from a basement, there were people talking, and it sounded very important. It turned out to be a meeting of the village NAACP. And we were looking in, and they asked us to come in, and I became a member of the NAACP at the age of 16. And whatever in my life I ever did, and I didn't do anything important, but I was in the periphery. I kind of did it for personal reasons. This was my personal reason for picketing and being involved in protesting racism.
It's interesting to hear you talking about this activism history of yours, and you keep, you know, backpedaling and saying I was only involved in a little way. But what I remember is growing up with a mom who was a fierce fighter. And I want to remind you of a story, which you might not remember. When I was in high school, we were going somewhere. So it was maybe a Saturday night, and we were with my friend Sharon, and the police started to arrest a young black man. And there were three or four cops, and they were beating on him with their sticks, and they were kicking him, and everyone is frozen. So many people can see this, and they're all frozen because it's the cops. What are you going to do? And you start screaming, leave him alone. Stop it. You're killing him. And I remember being so terrified that they would come over and start kicking you, but also so fiercely proud. And then I think that other people started crying out what they were doing, because it was beyond what they needed to do to arrest him. It was truly abusive. But what I know for sure is that my friend Sharon, you know, to this day, she thinks you're a hero. And so do I.
StoryCorps in Cincinnati is a presentation of Cincinnati Public Radio. Thanks to the Carol Ann and Ralph V. Hale Jr. U.S. Bank Foundation and the Johnson Foundation for their support.